It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A newly expanded program aims to address student needs that are often hidden from plain sight.
Hope is a rare commodity where we're at sometimes because just culturally, dynamics, demographics, it's not always been easy to be hopeful in what feels like a hopeless situation.
We'll hear more about community and schools on this West Virginia morning. Governor Jim Justice's state budget calls for a $6 million expansion to the Community in Schools program, which provides services in school to address the negative impacts of traumatic childhood experiences like poverty, a family death, divorce, drug abuse, and physical abuse. Glennis Board recently visited Wyoming County, which was a recent recipient of Community in Schools funding.
Community in Schools program addresses the emotional impact of conditions that puts kids' abilities to learn and stay in school at risk. It creates positions in schools separate from counselors, teachers, or staff. Someone in school who can focus entirely on building one-on-one relationships with students.
Here in Wyoming County, a state grant of $960,000 is making the expansion of the Community in Schools program possible. That pays for 8 full-time coordinators, some transportation costs, supplies, over a 2-year period.
John Hendry is Director of Student Services and Attendance in Wyoming County. He oversees the program.
Communities in Schools allows us an opportunity to have one person in all 8 of those schools that can focus just on taking down barriers that would not allow students to be in school.
Facilitator in a school across the county, Vicki Williams, says she was able to rally a team of support within the school and the community to help one student in particular.
This is one of my students. His name is Nathan Milam. He is a senior. At first, just meeting him, it was just, you know, just basic. How are you? How's your family? But then the further we got to know each other and our relationship we were building, Nathan, come to find out, was homeless.
Well, my mom became addicted to drugs, and then she kicked me out when I was 17 on Mother's Day.
And his father was disabled from the coal mines, and the family just sort of dissolved from there.
I wasn't interested in coming because there's no point in going to school if you can't think about your assignments. Because when you get home, you're worried about where are you going to go, where are you going to sleep, what are you going to do. I was by myself for so long that I didn't realize that how many people really cared.
We started working on getting him a place to live, and we got his learners, and we got his electricity, his power. He's thriving.
Milan joins some 10,000 kids who were identified as homeless for the 2018-2019 school year. According to West Virginia's Department of Education, that's up 17% since the 2014-15 school year.
We work one-on-one with any student that has any need. It can be from academics to maybe a basic need like food or clothing.
Kathy Brunty is one of the Community in Schools facilitators in Wyoming County.
I'm not their disciplinarian. I'm not their teacher, but I'm just their friend that will help them through whatever they're going through.
Like all the program's facilitators, Brunty is a longtime member of the community herself. So is Charisma West. West believes the program provides a missing puzzle piece to the public school system.
I think here we have such a poverty mindset and we live in an oppressed ideology. So we have to try to look at things and say, let's not focus on that. That's the problem. Let's focus on how we can come above that.
At Westside High School, one way students and communities are working together is through what they call a blessings box, a metal cabinet fixed to a post alongside the high school's parking lot. Molly Cook is a high school senior and president of student council. She and her peers see to it that the box is filled every other day.
We fill it up with your everyday necessities, feminine products, and if you need something, we have put non-perishable items into it, and we're putting shampoo and conditioner, body wash, deodorant, and toothpaste. We fill it up once every other day, and everything goes quick.
hope is a rare commodity where we're at sometimes, because just culturally, dynamics, demographics, it's not always been easy to be hopeful in what feels like a hopeless situation. And so our kids are finding hope.
Many of the facilitators also used to be teachers, like Kendra Sparks.
I think it's needed throughout our entire state, because the first month, as our reports came in for the month of September, I sat in front of the computer screen with tears going down my face crying, because I never knew the needs. It was really within my own county, and I think that there's several counties within our, you know, all the counties within our state, people don't really see it behind closed doors.
A lot of times we don't think that those situations exist around us, even though we might know that, but when we see them firsthand, you really understand the need for this program.
Again, that was Community in Schools Facilitator Charisma West in Wyoming County. Glennis Sporde reporting there for our program, The Legislature Today, West Virginia's source for daily legislative news and information. Tune in weeknights at 6 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Rain today with high temperatures in the 40s and low 50s. Rain tonight heavy at times with lows in the 40s. Tomorrow mostly cloudy skies, still a chance of rain with highs in the 40s and low 50s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW, with flights to Orlando, Florida MCO beginning February 14th. More at JaegerAirport.com. Support is also provided by CAMC, with more than 40 cardiac specialists in electrophysiology, interventional cardiology, minimally invasive surgery, and cardiac imaging. More at camc.org/heart. On a recent episode of The Legislature Today, host Suzanne Higgins spoke with two members of a newly formed public health caucus. One of the group's missions is to combat adverse childhood experiences, known as ACEs. ACEs can be things like drug abuse, poverty, or a death of a relative. Higgins spoke with Dr. Catherine Schlimp, Commissioner of the West Virginia Bureau for Public Health and State Health Officer, and Jim McKay, President of Prevent Child Abuse West Virginia. Here's an excerpt from the interview taped live at the Capitol.
These approaches and strategies in preventing ACEs in the first place, the first and probably a foundation is economic support of families. Speak to that briefly.
Absolutely. We know that, you know, while there are substantial challenges of adverse childhood experiences, there are concrete things that research shows make a difference, both to buffer against the impact of them and to prevent them in the first place. Having economic security, adequate income, housing, food security, access to health insurance, all of these that help provide a strong beginning in our lives make a profound difference. So programs like paid family medical and family leave when a child is born is shown that when jurisdictions have that, there's a reduction in shaken baby and other adverse childhood experiences. And so the more we can promote economic security, the better we're gonna have health outcomes along with it.
And that is a bill that's actually making its way through the committee, a 12-week paid leave for West Virginians, I believe PEIA members. Go ahead, Dr. Slim.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, that kind of brings up the topic that this is something we could all address. There's policy at the level of the legislature. Employers, how do they do things like paid maternity leave, flexible schedules so that parents can be home with their families? How do have regular work schedules so you're not changing hours of work all the time, which makes one really tired and stressed? So I think there's lots that people can do, whether it be the employer, whether it be the legislature, whether it be individuals and communities.
Some of the other strategies that you brought out in the meeting, promoting social norms, teaching parenting skills, early visitation in the home, connecting youths to adults who are responsible, healthy activities, primary care, which screens for these ACEs. Speak to that larger, well-known and evidence-based approaches.
You know, in the end of the day, it's really about connections. We do better when we have social supports and connections with others in our communities. So it, things like connecting with a caring adult and children, we know that makes an incredible difference. So the programs and communities that provide after-school connections or youth leagues, church youth groups can make an enormous difference. So those kind of things that build connections between people are really critical. But then also it's building skills. Mm-hmm. So it's the coping skills that parents have or that youth have. How do you deal with violence? How do you deal with stress in your community? How do you deal with stress when you're feeling emotionally upset about something? So those skills developments can be really important.
Mr. McKay, your group, Prevent Child Abuse, the West Virginia chapter, this is a national organization. You're just one of many of a coalition of people that are participating in the public health caucus. What I heard was people asking for a statewide strategy, a plan. Talk about that need.
We've done a good job of kind of building awareness about adverse childhood experiences and even their impact, but people are asking, now what? What are we going to do about it? And so we're pleased to have some training available that builds on the connections, and there's a rigorous training called Connections Matter from Iowa that we've adopted, have trainers in West Virginia available to help primary care settings and schools. There's proposals to expand trauma-informed education in schools. We saw the community in schools approach highlighted earlier. Those types of programs, both formal programs through schools and home visiting programs and healthcare centers, but also the informal supports through congregations, through youth sports and so forth, how we build this social capital with each other. But it's going to take intentional work that's not just up to an individual to say, well, I've got a high ACE score, what am I going to do about it? It's up to all of us. We know that West Virginians care for each other. We want our children to grow up healthy, strong, and ready to learn, but it takes all of us working together to make that happen. So when we have the quality home visiting programs more widely available, we have access to health insurance so that you can get benefits and all the economic security and these pieces coming together across the social ecology model. And that's the nexus of public health, that just like we don't wait till you have the flu before we encourage you to take precaution, get a flu shot, we also want to have a population approach to childhood adversity and create these conditions so that families can thrive.
And we really build on that. DHHR, there's other programs that complement those, and we need to be able to realign them. So we do lots of home visitation programs with young families. There's expanded school mental health initiatives that really look at the school environment and for every child, not waiting till there's a challenge down the road. And so I think, as Jim said, it really is about connecting how do we do this together and aligning our efforts and thinking about it as a society, not simply as individuals.
That was Dr. Catherine Schlimm, Commissioner of the West Virginia Bureau for Public Health and State Health Officer, and Jim McKay, President of Prevent Child Abuse, West Virginia, speaking with Suzanne Higgins on the legislature today. To hear this full interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our news director and producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.